week, he pursues, doesn't he? He pursues. And I'm thankful that he does that. Thankful that he doesn't stop pursuing. I do believe there comes a time when the Holy Spirit has dealt and drawn and drawn, and just like we're going to look at this morning with the nation of Israel, I believe there's a time when we can quench the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But boy, I'm thankful that he's merciful and that he pursues. Hosea chapter 4, if you're physically able, if you'll stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word, we'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. Hosea chapter number 4, two verses by way of introduction this morning. Verse 6 will primarily be our text today. Hosea chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy." We spoke about this Wednesday night for those that were in here on Wednesday night. "For the Lord hath a controversy." That word, it means a quarrel, a debate. It means a charge brought in a courtroom. And we mentioned Wednesday night, I know I'll be a little repetitious for those that were here Wednesday night, but when it comes to God bringing a charge against us, he is judge, jury, prosecutor, and executioner. And we ought to know that this morning. And the Bible says here that he had a controversy. He's bringing a charge against the nation of Israel. He said, "I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." What was his controversy? Why did he have a controversy? Because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And then look at verse number 6, if you would. The Bible says, "My people." Now notice that the nation of Israel were his people, his chosen earthly people. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What did verse 1 say? Verse 1 said they had no truth. Verse 6, "My people are destroyed." Not because they don't have any money. By the way, we're going to see today, not because they don't have any book knowledge per se. It's because they didn't have any truth. They didn't have the Word of God. It's not that they didn't have it, it's that they had rejected it. Notice what it says there. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." And I want you to notice that last phrase. And let me ask us the question as we get started this morning. Who always suffers or prospers because of the decisions of adults? It's the children. They can prosper because of our decisions, or they can suffer because of our decisions. And the Bible says, "I will also forget thy children." I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Father, help us today. Teach us. Father, I pray that you'd remind us, convince us, prick our hearts, whatever the need would be for each and every one of us this morning. Father, I pray that at least in our families and in our church family and in this community, there would always be a beacon of truth found right here in this place. Father, our nation is dying because of a lack of truth. We know that this morning. God, would you help us? God, would you help us to be the disseminators of truth? God, would you help us to speak truth constantly? Father, help us today. I do ask, Father, if there's one here, or how many ever, I don't know, Lord, but if there's one here today without Christ, Father, pray that today they would be saved. If there's a believer here that is away from you this morning, Father, I pray that they would come back. Pray that they would see their shortcomings and their failures and just simply come back to you this morning. You're merciful. You're ready for them to come back. I pray that we would. Father, we just commit these next few moments to you. We ask that you'd bless as only you can, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Of course, most of us who have a little age on us have heard that iconic phrase in bygone years. And no doubt it is still used in public service announcements even today. I haven't heard it in recent years, but you used to hear it all the time. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. However, our title this morning, our title today, doesn't speak to the physical or the carnal mind, if we want to use that term. It speaks to the spiritual. Our title speaks to that which is most important. Friend, listen, we can make it in this world with limited book knowledge. But we cannot make it in this world, and we definitely cannot make it in the world to come without the truth that is found in God's Word. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. We look at things that are going on in our nation right now, and to us, they're very clear, and to us, they're absolutely wrong, and to us, they're absolutely going in a direction that is in opposition to God's Word. And we don't have any problem seeing that. Because most of us this morning, our minds are bent and based toward truth. Do you ever, and I've asked this before, but do you ever look at some of the things going on in our nation right now? And this is not a message about our nation. This is a message about our children. And this is a message about us as adults. This is a message about our families. This is a message about our church family this morning. This is a message about the family that you're going to go home with today. It's not necessarily a message about our nation per se. But do you ever look at some things that are going on in our nation and say, oh my word, how did we get here? Can I tell you how we got here? No truth. No truth. Why? And by the way, I'm not denigrating this at all, because our young people today have issues that we didn't deal with when I was growing up. But why do young people today struggle with identity? And for some of them, it's a real struggle. I'm not negating that this morning. But why is it a struggle? I tell you, growing up for me, I never had a struggle with my identity. And most of y'all never had a struggle with your identity, who God made you to be. Why do young people today, and even older people for that matter, why do people struggle with that? Because they don't have any truth. They don't have a fixed point of authority. They don't have the Word of God that guides them, that is their true north, if you will. We have that. And so for us, we look out and we look out on the landscape of our nation and the moral decline, and we're like, oh my, how did we ever get here? I never thought that we would be dealing with this. But we are. It's because of no truth. And by the way, we see, and we're not going to go back, we spoke about this Wednesday night, but if you notice verses 1 and 2, there is a slippery slope, there is a decline. There is a direction downward when there's no truth. No truth leads to no mercy, leads to no knowledge, leads to verse 2, which is a category of different sins in the life of the nation of Israel. And so when there's no truth, it's just a downward decline and a downward decline and a downward decline. That's why, look, I want my kids to be smart. Amen? This is not a message saying that we want our children to be dummies. That's not what we're saying. But God help when we're so enamored with my child has to have A's in all this, and my child has to be the best in math and science and all this, and we forget to give them the Word of God. If we haven't given them the Word of God, even if they graduated number one in their class, we have failed them. Because they're going to walk away with no biblical truth. And it's going to have devastating effects in the future. And that's what happened with the nation of Israel. The first three chapters in the book of Hosea speak to the sad condition of Hosea's home life, which was God's perfect illustration of the sad condition of Hosea's homeland. Hosea was representative of God, while Hosea's wife, Gomer, was a representation, if you will, of the nation of Israel. She was an adulteress and repeatedly unfaithful to her husband. I'm thankful two Wednesday nights ago, we looked at chapter 3. Hosea pursued her even in the midst of her unfaithfulness. And I'm thankful for that this morning, aren't you? That's who our God is. He's long-suffering and He's merciful. As we said this past Wednesday night, we looked at verse number 1, we looked at a good part of chapter number 4, and we saw the controversy, the dispute, the charge that God brought against His people, and the charge was no truth. By the way, they had full and complete access to this truth. They had been specially chosen to bear this truth. And they had been warned time and again to follow this truth. However, as a people, they had chosen to walk contrary to this truth. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. I'd like for us to marry this message here in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, with our 2021 theme, which is sharpened. When our minds and or the minds of our families are not continually sharpened with the truth of the Word, our minds will be wasted. They're going to be wasted. Listen, dear friend, Hollywood's godless movies do not sharpen our minds. Nashville's godless music does not sharpen our minds. Self-serving politicians do not sharpen our minds. But the truth that is found in God's holy word will sharpen our minds every time we lay it on that whetstone of the Bible. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Let me give you three truths here this morning, if I could. And we're going to go to some passages this morning, so I pray that you'll stay with me if you can. If not, just listen. Just let God work in your heart this morning. Just take it in. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Even if you don't go to every passage this morning, just hear it, just hear it, just hear it, just listen to it. Number one this morning, if you have a bulletin, the outline's on the back there. First of all, I want us to see this. And we see it in verse number 6, but first of all, their law was forsaken. Their law was forsaken. We've already said it, but it wasn't that they didn't have it. It wasn't that they weren't exposed to it. They had special access to it. They had full access to it. God had chosen them specially to bear that truth. It wasn't that they didn't have any access to the truth. It is simply that they had forsaken it. And by the way, this morning, listen, I know the vast majority of you in here this morning, it is not because you don't have access to the truth. Amen and amen and amen. You hold the truth in your laps. You have many copies of the truth probably in your homes, right? How many copies do we have of the Word of God? How many Bibles do we have in our homes? If I asked you this morning, you probably couldn't remember how many you have in your homes. It's not that we don't have access. It's whether we actually take the opportunity to delve into what we have access to. And the nation of Israel had special access to the truth of God's Word, to His law, if you will. And they forsook it. I would submit to us this morning that our nation has had special access to the Word. And as a whole, in recent decades, we have forsaken it. We don't make laws anymore based on the Word of God. We make laws based on man's opinion. That will fail us every time. I want us real quickly, take your Bibles, hold your place here in Hosea 6. We'll be back. Would you take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 20? Exodus chapter number 20 this morning. First of all, their law was forsaken. We read Hosea 4, verse number 6. Hosea 4, verse number 10 says, "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." And the whoredom that's spoken about there is just spiritual idolatry. It's spiritual adultery, if you will. They're going after other gods. They're going after other nations. And he says, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord, the law was forsaken. Exodus chapter number 20. We know this to be the chapter that contains the Ten Commandments. I understand, look, I understand the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with my salvation. I understand that this morning. But the Ten Commandments are still good to live by. The Ten Commandments are still in effect. They don't save me. The grace of God saves me. The shed blood of Christ saves me. But the Bible says here, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Look at verse number 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." The nation of Israel along the way forsook every single one of these commandments. Take your Bibles, if you would. Actually, just hang on right there in Exodus chapter number 20, if you would. We have the first commandments, the first commandment. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment. He said, "I am the Lord. I am your God. You're not to have any other gods before me." In Hosea chapter number 4, and we'll look at this verse in a little more detail in just a moment, but in verse number 12, he says, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." Verse 13 says, "They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods." We have it right here in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 12. Baal was one of the gods that they went after time and time again. Baal, and I believe, Lord willing, we'll speak about this a little bit more tonight, but Baal was the fertility god. It is thought that Baal would bless the worshipers that committed immoral acts at his altar. Those that committed immoral acts at his altar, it was thought that he would bless them with fruitfulness and fertility. You want to talk about sick. You want to talk about debauchery. And you want to talk about wickedness. That is what God's people had joined themselves to. The Bible says in verse number 17 that Ephraim has joined himself to idols. The idea there of join, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, the idea of join is like a man and a woman when they come together in marriage, they have joined to become one flesh. He said, "No longer are they joined to me. No longer am I their husband." But Ephraim, Israel, has joined himself to idols. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The law was forsaken. Number two, the second commandment Thou shalt not have any graven images. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings with me, please? 1 Kings chapter number 12. You say, Pastor, we don't, as a nation, we don't have gods like that. We don't erect gods like Baal and fall down to them and worship them. Oh, dear friend, yes, we do. 1 Kings chapter number 12. We'll begin in verse number 25. The Bible says, Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. The context here is when the kingdom was split from or taken, when Solomon passed away, it was split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Jeroboam became the king of the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, what we know as Israel and Ephraim. The Bible uses those two terms to represent that northern kingdom. And the Bible says in verse 26, And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priest of the lowest of the people. Common people. The lowest of the people. Which were not of the sons of, Levi. They weren't of the Aaronic priesthood. They weren't from Levi. He just made anybody who he wanted to put as a priest of the lowest of the people, the Bible says, verse 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th month of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. Not the feast that God had commanded, but the feast that he had devised in his own heart. And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. By the way, what does the Bible say about Jeroboam? That he is the king who led Israel to do what? To sin. He is the king who led Israel to sin. And so here we have, he says, you're not to have any other gods before me. You're not to make any graven images. And this is just one example, by the way. Jeroboam said, if I let my people go back to Jerusalem and worship and sacrifice where they're supposed to, they're going to leave me. They're going to go back to Rehoboam. They're going to kill me and my kingdom will be gone. So what did he do? The Bible says he set up two calves. Made feast of his own choosing. Made priest of his own choosing of the lowest of the people. What's the third commandment? The first one is have no other gods, any graven images. The third one is don't take the Lord's name in vain. Would you go just a little bit further to 1 Kings chapter 22? 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 6. We're talking about the fact that their law was forsaken. 1 Kings chapter number 22 and verse number 6. We often think about taking the Lord's name in vain, and we think about using it as a curse word, and that is part of it. And by the way, you ought never, never, ever, ever use God's name as a curse word. You ought never watch a movie that uses God's name as a curse word. That's our God. He's holy. He's righteous. And boy, they use His name so flippantly today. By the way, I'm not your God, but I sure would encourage you, don't even use OMG in your social media. I hate that. Pastor, it doesn't matter what you hate. I get it. I know that, but I hate it. And I hate to see Christian folk using it. I just hate to see people who call themselves children of God using their God's name in such a flippant way. Don't do that. 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 6. Pastor, am I going to go to hell if I do that? No, you know that. But have some respect for your God. Have some respect for the one who gave everything for us. 1 Kings chapter number 22. Listen, I don't like it when people call their father the old man. That's disrespectful. So let's don't call our heavenly Father in the same vein. The old man upstairs. He's not the old man upstairs. He's the God of heaven. He's the creator of the world. He's the one who loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Verse number 6, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 6, the Bible says, then the king of Israel, by the way, you're just like me. If I'd ever called my daddy the old man, he would have showed me who was old. Right? He says, son, you need to have some respect. By the way, I never did it because I knew that I needed to have respect for my daddy. Verse number 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Notice this. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Here come these prophets, Ahab and Jehoshaphat come together in league, and they're going to battle together. And Ahab brings his prophets in, and he said, shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead? And his prophets, who had no access to God Almighty because they were heathen prophets, they said, yeah, the Lord will deliver it into your hand. By the way, did the Lord deliver it into their hand? Was He going to deliver it into their hand? Absolutely not. Jehoshaphat said, hold on a minute, let's call another prophet. Do you have a prophet here different than these? He said, yeah, I have one, Micaiah. But I don't like him. He always tells the truth. He always tells the truth. They took the Lord's name in vain because they said, the Lord will deliver you. By the way, and we're not going to go for a second time, but down in the passage, they say several times, the Lord said it, the Lord said it, the Lord said it, and the Lord had never said it. We need to be careful how we use God's name. We need to be careful when we say, man, I've got a word from the Lord. Careful. I have a word from the Lord too, and it's right here. We need to be respectful. What's the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath. Take your Bibles and go to Nehemiah, if you would, Nehemiah 13. We need to pick up the pace a little bit. Nehemiah chapter number 13. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I understand we don't observe the Sabbath the way the nation of Israel did, but they did. That was one of their laws. Nehemiah chapter number 13 and verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves. Now, by the way, remember, this is after Judah. We're not talking about Israel here. We're talking about Judah. They had been taken into captivity in Babylon, and they had come back 70 years later, and they're still having issue with this law. And he says, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Notice this, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Notice verse 18. Did not your fathers thus? Hey, don't you remember this is part of why we went to Babylon? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. No other gods, graven image, the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Number 5. Honor thy father and mother. And go back, if you would, to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, if you would, this time. 2 Kings chapter number 21. I'm just giving us examples of how they forsook the law. And primarily, it was their kings. It was their leaders that were giving examples of. 2 Kings chapter number 21. Honor thy father and mother. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 1. The Bible says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. That name means, his mother's name means, my delight is in her. Jehovah's delight is in her. And notice verse 2, and he did that which was, what's the word? Evil. By the way, that's the epitaph for all the kings of Israel, isn't it? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. After the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Let me ask you, who was his dad? Hezekiah. Talking about not honoring mom and dad. Look what it says in verse 3. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. Hezekiah was a good king. He wasn't perfect, but he was one of the good kings in Judah. And the Bible says here comes Manasseh along, one of his sons. And not only did he not honor his mom and dad, not only did he not listen to his mom and dad, not only did he not keep intact the things that his dad put in place, by the way, which were direct results of the Word of God. The Bible says he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Honor thy father and mother. Number 6, shalt not kill. Take your Bibles and go back to 1 Kings 21, and we're going to get 2 or 3 out of this passage. 1 Kings 21, thou shalt not kill. 1 Kings 21, verses 13 and 14. The context here is Naboth's vineyard. Ahab wants the vineyard. Thou shalt not covet. That gets number 10. Notice verses 1 through 7. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And I love what Naboth says. And Naboth, verse number 3, said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. God help us. No matter what anybody offers us, no matter what this world offers us, that we give our inheritance from our fathers for anything. Amen and amen. Can I tell you, we're doing that in America? We're giving the inheritance of our fathers. We're giving it away for nothing. We're just giving it away. Oh, but we're promised prosperity and we're promised this. I mentioned Wednesday night, I watched this week, some of our legislators in Nashville are getting a little antsy because some of our conservative legislators are bringing some pro-life and pro-marriage and pro-family bills up, and they're getting them passed and they're getting them through committee. And some of the more liberal legislators in Nashville, they're getting a little antsy because they're saying, well, we're going to lose business. Let them leave. I'm in Hosea 4. You're probably not. This is what God tells Judah about Ephraim. He says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him be. Don't have anything to do with him. Because he's joined. Let him go. If Amazon wants to leave Tennessee, let him go. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to provide. Oh, but pastor, that's just preacher talk. No, 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 that's Bible talk. Let them go. We are trading our souls for this stuff. We are trading the truth. By the way, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, buy the truth, B-U-Y. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth isn't worth anything that anybody can give me. We don't sell it for anything. We sell it for an extra $5 an hour. We sell it for an extra $15 an hour. We sell the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. 1 Kings chapter number 21. Naboth said, look, hey Ahab, I know you're the king, but I'm not giving you my father's vineyard. That was my daddy's. He gave it to me. I'm going to give it to my son. I'm not giving it to you. Notice verse 4, 1 Kings 21, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Verse 6. And he said unto her, who's her? Or excuse me, verse 5. But Jezebel's wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou not, excuse me, now govern the kingdom of Israel? What does she say to him? Aren't you the king? Just go take it. That's what she said. You're the king, Ahab. Ahab, why are you sulking on your bed? You're the king. Go get it. Because that's what she would do, right? That's what she did do. Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him. There we have number 9. We have number 10, thou shalt not covet. We have number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. And that's exactly what Jezebel did. She had men come and bear false witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said, Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. We have number 10, thou shalt not covet. We have number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. We have number 8, thou shalt not steal. And we have number 6, thou shalt not kill. Then the last one, number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Would you take your Bibles and go back to the book of Hosea? You see, the law was forsaken. The law was forsaken. Well, big deal, Pastor. 10 commandments, I do my best. God's word is a big deal. Doesn't mean if we don't keep them all, we're going to hell. That's not what we're preaching this morning. But what we are preaching is the truth of God's word is a big deal. Number 1, their law was forsaken. Hosea chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Notice this. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible says the land had committed great whoredom because they had gone after God, after God, after God. That leads us to number 2. We're going to go quickly on these last two. Number 1, their law was forsaken. Number 2, their love was forbidden. Their love was forbidden. Would you notice here in Hosea chapter 4, I read these verses just a moment ago. Their love was forbidden. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 2, it says to us, the New Testament church, it says in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now again, we know that's not talking about the people of the world because we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to tell them about Christ. We're supposed to give them the gospel. The idea in 1 John 2:15 is the attitude, the mentality, the philosophy of the world system. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what was in Ahab's heart and in his mind. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Hey, I want that vineyard. Jezebel said, hey, I'm queen, you're king. Let's go get it. That's the pride of life. Love not the world. Notice in Hosea 4, verse number 12, their love was forbidden. What did he say in Exodus 20? Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods. My people ask counsel. They're not asking counsel to Jehovah God. They're asking counsel to their idols. That's what the word stocks is referring to. My people ask counsel at their stocks. This piece of wood that you have fashioned and created an idol out of. This altar of Baal that you have fashioned. By the way, we mentioned this Wednesday night. Isn't it amazing? They fashioned their own idols. They fashioned these creations that they actually thought could do something for them. They created them. Doesn't that seem weird? They fashioned the idol and then they expected that piece of wood or metal or iron to do something for them. It had ears, but it couldn't hear, the Bible says. They had hands, but they couldn't touch. They had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had a mouth, but they couldn't speak. How is that idol going to do anything for them? And the Bible says here, my people, again, my people. This is not the heathen nation. This isn't the Philistines. This isn't the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites. No, no, no. This is His people. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Let me ask you, Mom and Dad, where do you go to get counsel for your family? Where do you go to get counsel for your family? It ought to be right here. It ought to be to a godly Sunday school teacher. It ought to be maybe to a godly mom or a godly dad. Maybe it's a godly deacon in our church. Young people, it's your godly Sunday school teacher. I don't know, but where do you go? You ought to go right here. Where had the nation who had gone so far from, hey, let's, for example, in Joshua chapter 1, when Joshua, the first part of Joshua, chapter 1, 2, 3, up until chapter number 6 and 7, when they defeat Jericho, where did Joshua get his counsel? Where did he go for counsel? To God. And what did God do? God gave him a miraculous victory. And now we're many years down the road, and where are they going for their counsel? Some dead piece of wood. My people ask, that's a forbidden love. Love not the world. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. Verse 13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms. That's not where they were supposed to sacrifice. Notice, because the shadow thereof is good, because it's comfortable. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Their love was forbidden. Let me give you these two real quickly. God was and is jealous for Israel. If you're taking notes, let me give you a couple of verses if I could. Exodus 34, 14. Just for sake of time, we're not going to go there this morning. Exodus 34, 14. Deuteronomy 4, 24. Joshua 24, 19. I do want to read that one. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it. Joshua 24, 19. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. What? You know, he asked him that great question. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they said, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Yes. Joshua said, you're not going to serve the Lord. You can't. For He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. It wasn't that he was saying, you can't serve God. He was saying, I know you. You may serve Him for a little while, then you're going to quit. God was and is jealous for Israel. Secondly, Israel was joined to idols. It's a forbidden love. What did we say that we're joined in Hosea 4:17? And again, Lord willing, I pray that we'll speak about this a little bit more tonight. That word joined takes the idea of marriage, when a man and a woman get married and they become one flesh. That's a forbidden love. And dear brother and sister in Christ, this morning, when we give our love to something other than the preeminent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is forbidden love. Love not the world. Pastor, what does that have to do with our families? Because all of this, the first two, directly affect our families. Their law was forsaken. Their love was forbidden. Where's your love this morning? You say, Pastor, I'm here at church this morning. Okay, I'm glad. I'm thankful. But where's your love? Is it for the Lord? Or is it in a hobby? Now look, I don't stand here today being perfect on this because I'm not. But during the week when you need to sit down with your family and have family time, do you do it or does something else take place of that? Does some TV show take the place of that? Does some sports event take the place of that? And I'm against neither one of those per se. I'm pretty much against TV, but I'm not per se against either one of those. But when it takes the place of God, I am. And you ought be also. Because when the law is forsaken and we have a forbidden love, let me give you number three. Their law was forsaken. Their love was forbidden. Their littles were forgotten. That's what verse number 6 says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And I believe he's primarily speaking to the priest here, if we take the full context of the chapter. He said, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. The littles are forgotten. Can I give you two ways in the book of Hosea that I see that the children are forgotten? Look at chapter 5, if you would. Because the adults rejected truth, first of all, the littles were distanced from the Almighty. Look at chapter number 5 of Hosea, verse number 7. Hosea 5, verse number 7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten, what's the word there? Strange children. You know what he's saying there? Because you have gone after all of these other gods, the children that you're raising look nothing like they ought to look. They don't know anything about me. Jehovah said, they don't know anything about me. They look like the gods of the people in whose land you dwell. They don't look anything like me. They don't act like me. They don't listen to my word. They don't listen to my commandments. They're strangers to me. And is that not the children we're raising in our nation? I believe God Almighty looks down and says, they don't look anything like me. You're raising a bunch of strange children. They're unrecognizable. When they ought to be living for me and acting like me and obeying my word and worshiping me, they're worshiping at the altar of Baal, because that's what you do, adults. That's what he's saying in verse 7. God says, look, you're raising a bunch of strangers. You're raising a bunch of people who are unrecognizable to me. Can I get it down to our level this morning? You're raising a bunch of children that when they get out from under their roof, your roof, they're not going to want to have anything to do with me, because you haven't taught them about me. You've taught them about the world. You've taught them about Hollywood's entertainment. You've taught them about the world's music. You've taught them about the world's activities. You've taught them about everything else is more important than the house of God, and that's what you're raising. That's strange to me, God says. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. For they have begotten strange children. Their littles were forgotten because the adults rejected truth. The littles were distanced from the Almighty. Let me give you the second one and we're done. Look at chapter number 9 this morning, if you would. Hosea chapter 9. Not only were they distanced from the Almighty, they were devoured by the adversary. Hosea chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. Notice, don't miss this. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. You know what he's saying there? You're raising children, but you're just raising them to be devoured by the adversary. You're going to be bereaved because you're raising them to be just like the adversary. And when God brings His chastening, you're raising them to be devoured by the Assyrian army. And you're going to be bereaved. And you're raising children to hand them over to the murderer. Why? Because they had forsaken the law and because they had a forbidden love. They had joined themselves to idols. It takes the truth of God's Word to constantly sharpen our minds. Constantly. My people, what did he say in verse 6? My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. And it's not the knowledge of some math book he's talking about. It's not the knowledge of some science book that he's talking about. And I'm not denigrating that this morning. You ought to teach your kids all those things. But he's saying, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have forsaken my law. It says it right there in the verse. They don't listen to my word. And because there's no... Look, if verse 1, if there's no truth in the land, how are the kids going to find it? There was no truth in the land, so obviously the adults didn't have any truth, and then obviously the adults weren't transferring it to the children, which is a direct disobedience to Deuteronomy chapter 6. They were to diligently teach their children, weren't they? So go back and read Deuteronomy 6 this afternoon. They were to diligently teach their children. Their law was forsaken, their love was forbidden. And because of that, their littles were forgotten. Listen, friend, we must rear children, not just children, but teenagers and young adults who know what the truth of God's Word says. Because if they don't, they're going to be devoured up in this culture that we're living in today that is absolutely contrary to God's Word. Our kids need to be able to know, you know what? God made man and woman. He didn't make anything else. Embrace what God made you. Embrace your identity because that's who the Creator of the world made you to be. God instituted and created marriage, and He created it for a man to marry a woman and for them to become one flesh. Our children need to understand that and not be gobbled up by this culture today that says, listen, if they love each other, let them get married. That's killing our civilization. It's not that look, and people will call you bigots and homophobic and all that. That's fine. You just keep loving people and keep obeying the truth of God's Word. They had no truth. They had no truth. Mamas and daddies, they need to see y'all loving on each other at home. Holding hands, hugging each other. We're not perfect, I get that. My kids see their mom and dad at their worst and y'all don't. They do. I get that, okay? I understand that. But they also need to see mom and daddy get it right, and they make up, and they still love each other. And they're going to get through until they're still going to be married when it's all said and done. 50 years, 75 years, how many ever years the Lord gives? Hey, they may have some squabbles, they may have some arguments, because mama hasn't ever learned that daddy's always right yet. I think it's opposite, isn't it? Daddy hasn't learned that mama's always right yet. But you know what? They make it through. They still love each other. And they're still going to be loving each other until death do them part. Now that's truth. That's the truth of God's Word. And our kids need to hear it. They need to learn it. They need to see it. Because if not, they're going to get consumed and devoured by the adversary. You know what? The adversary loves where the United States of America is right now. Because he is bold and in our face. And we just need to push back, not with obnoxiousness, but just push back with truth. Just push back with this right here. Amen? Amen. Father, we sure love you today. Father, help us not to forsake your law. Father, help us not to have a forbidden love. Love, not the world. Father, please. We all have things that get our attention sometimes that shouldn't get our attention. Father, give us strength. Give us courage. Because, Father, we don't want our littles to be forgotten. We don't want them to look like the world. We want them to be like you. We want them to be little Christ Christians who love people, who love truth, who love mercy but also love justice, who love mercy but also love righteousness, who love grace but also love justification. God, help us. Father, that burden is laid right on our shoulders as adults. Father, help the leaders in this church to understand the great responsibility that they bear to continue to manifest and to demonstrate and to simply speak forth truth. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's at the piano, and she's going to play. Friend, if you're here this morning without Christ, you need to come. Believer, if you're here this morning and you have started cutting the truth a little bit, we need to fall on our knees. We need to say, Lord, help me to stay with the truth. Help me to stay with the truth. Help me to stay with the truth. I'm not going to trim it. Moms and dads, maybe you've cut a little bit of truth in your home. Fall on your knees this morning and say, God, help me to give my kids truth. And that truth is found in God's Word. We don't have to go searching for it. We don't have to get some man's opinion about it. I'm a little nervous sometimes when we're always looking for man's approval and what some other man says about God's Word. What does the Word say? I get we need counsel sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about, but instead of just going to the Word, we're going to this man and his book and this man and this lady and their books. And we never read the real book. We never read the truth. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. The mind of our children, the minds of our children are wonderful things. It'd be terrible if they were wasted on the things of this world. A terrible thing if they were engaged in things that were not God's will for their lives. Truth. God said, I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge in the land. I have a controversy. I have a quarrel. I have a debate. I'm bringing a charge in my courtroom against this people. Take time to be holy, the song says. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated this morning. I know we're